The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and good morning, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm the producer and host. And with me at the board is my engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, we've had two beautiful days. I mean, today just feels like another spring day here in Sonoma County. Well, I have a great guest with me this morning. Joining me on the phone will be Gerilyn Stapleton, who is the president of the California National Organization for Women now, and we'll be talking about the organization, what's happening around Planned Parenthood, and how women can get involved. And I'm also going to do a few commentaries on the vote that's going to really harm Planned Parenthood. It was a beautiful week, and Ken and I celebrated our 17th anniversary on Saturday. Happy anniversary again, Ken. And we went out for a lovely dinner. We were actually so blessed because we were able to walk to the restaurant in the evening, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful evening. And we had a great dinner at the Royal China Chinese restaurant on Marlow Road in Santa Rosa. And the reason that I'm talking about it, because it was just such a great experience, and we were so happy with the food and the service. You know, we were actually commenting on how gracious these people were and how welcome they made us feel. And I looked over at one of the take-home menus, and it was so interesting. I saw the following saying on it: prepared with love, served from the heart. Prepared with love, served from the heart. And you truly felt that from them. And you felt that from the decor. And I personally want to give a shout out to the Royal China because of that attitude. You know, it's so hard to find love in this world that when you actually walk into a restaurant and you see people actually living their mission, which is prepared with love and served with heart, you know, you have to say something. And it was just an amazing experience for us. So once again, happy anniversary, Ken. We're going into our 18th year. Actually, it's the longest relationship for both of us, and it's really it's very exciting to be able to spend lifetime together with another human being. I mean, it's amazing. We're not the two people that started 17 years ago. Actually, we've known each other over 20 years now. Actually, 22 years, I believe. Well, I have to tell you, I am just appalled beyond anything that I have ever felt before. I mean, this whole issue around Planned Parenthood is just amazing to me. You know, I have said this over and over again. I am not for abortion. I am not against abortion. I am for choice. And I'm also for educating women. You know, I did like a mini survey. You know, I mean, I was a teenager once, and it was very different when I was growing up in the 50s. I mean, there was no birth control. And if, God forbid, you did decide to be sexual with somebody, it was just horrific. You know, you really were taking a big chance of getting pregnant. So, of course, you really thought 100 times before you even decided to engage in that. But many, many, many women did. I actually had a very good friend of mine, my best friend, actually, who became pregnant and went to a home for pregnant women. And what happened was, is they put a lot of pressure on her. She was 16 years old at the time, and they put a lot of pressure on her that she had to adopt the child. And she ran away from home. After she had the baby, she left the hospital. She would not sign the papers. She left her home. She went up to Atascadero, and she raised her daughter. She said, I'm not, you know, it was just a horrific experience. She was only 16 years old. And I'm not, you know, it was a big choice that she made. And it was such a shameful thing if you got pregnant. Like, oh, my my God, I'm going to use the word they use. Oh, that whore. You know, that's what women were called at that time. And it was a very difficult time. Well, Planned Parenthood or even birth control. I mean, I remember when my daughter was born in 1964. And then in 1965, I believe, when it was the first time I got birth control. And I'm telling you, folks, it was a whole different world. All of a sudden, sex became something that you could enjoy, that you could revel in, because you had birth control. You didn't have to worry about bringing in, quote, an unwanted child. You know, there's a very big word, unwanted child. You know, it's very difficult. And also, when you look around, there are so many children that are hungry. I mean, before women's spaces come on, they're telling us how we can donate or how we can contribute to child hunger. I mean, what a disgrace. $619 billion into the military, into defense, and our children in this country are starving? Or even across the globe? I mean, it makes no sense to me. And when I saw our Vice President, Mike Pence, there was a vote, and it was a tie, and he had to break the tie to whether to close a Planned Parenthood or not. In fact, it's going to be going to the Congress within the next week. I mean, they've done step one already. And he broke that tie. And he was surrounded by all these men. And they were smiling. They were happy. Why were they happy? They're taking medical care away from women. They're taking the right to go to a clinic and talk to somebody about your reproductive rights, about should you use birth control, should you not use birth control, you know, to get abortion information. And you know what's so interesting? Everybody makes such a big deal about abortion. It's only 3% of their services. 3% of their services. The other services had to do with mammograms, all kinds of different tests, you know, help with pregnancy, all kinds of different things, especially for women of color and women in low income. It's very important about having that kind of service. And what I don't understand, to be honest with you, is why any woman would want the government to regulate their body. Look what the government's doing. They're taking away our health care. For what reason, I'm not sure, except the fact that they're so hung up on this whole thing around abortion. And I, like I said, I'll say it again. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I'm for choice. Another thing that's very interesting, I was talking to a person that is really so adamant about pro-life, and, you know, if this woman has an abortion, God's going to punish her and all this other stuff. And I said to her, if that's true, when the time comes, she'll meet her maker and resolve that issue. Why does the government have to protect me from myself or from my God? It does not make any sense. So what I thought I would do is I was going to give you just a little bit of background, because our history is our strength. Most of us don't even know where Planned Parenthood came from. And just a little bit of information. In October of 2016, Planned Parenthood celebrated 100 years providing reproductive health services to women. 100 years. You know, I got to tell you, you know, abortion is not 100 years old. So that's why I don't understand why everybody gets hung up in this abortion, especially 3%. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Planned Parenthood consists of 159 medical and non-medical affiliates, which operate over 650 health clinics in the United States. It also partners with organizations in 12 countries globally. The organization directly provides a variety of reproductive health services, sexual education, contributes to research in reproductive technology, and advocates for the protection and expansion of reproductive rights. Planned Parenthood is the largest single provider of reproductive health services, including abortion, in the United States. The largest. So do you realize, ladies, what's being taken away from us? I mean, I did a little survey among mothers. It was very interesting to see how many mothers were aware that their daughters, when they reached a certain age, went to Planned Parenthood for birth control. Absolutely. Another prevented pregnancy. Because you know something? People are going to have sex. They're just going to do it. It's not going to go away. You know, they talk about abstinence and all that other stuff. It doesn't work. What works is birth control. You know, and what was really interesting, too, is in the late days of December, and I have to give President Obama a little bit of credit here, the Obama administration, they made a last-ditch attempt to protect Planned Parenthood from the incoming Republican Congress. I don't understand why these Republicans are so adamant on taking away reproductive rights and health care from women. I mean, if there's anybody out there that can answer that question, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. I would love to hear your opinion. On Thursday, the Senate voted to overturn. This is where the tie happened that Mike Pence broke. Last Thursday, the Senate voted to overturn the Obama administration's regulation lifting restrictions on how states treat abortion providers and clearing the way for Congress to take further action. Ladies, get on that phone and call your congressman and say, no, this is not acceptable. You cannot close down Planned Parenthood. Close down the war, but don't close down Planned Parenthood. The House had already passed the measure, and the Senate needed only a simple majority to get it through. When the vote came to a tie, and this is what really my hair stood on end, all these guys smiling, and they're all joyous, Vice President Pence cast the final ballot, taking Congress one step closer to taking money away from Planned Parenthood. There's a lot to think about here. You know, we pay taxes. You know, what are our taxes going for? A government is supposed to make sure people are treated fairly, that they have good health care, that they have a good life. I mean, it doesn't make sense how this happened. I asked the question, why is so much energy put into this kind of nonsense? Taking away from women access to birth control and abortion if chosen. Look, I'm not again for abortion or against abortion. I support choice and certainly do not want women to go back to having illegal abortions. And I have to tell a little story to my listeners. How I became so adamant is, I'm not going to say who it is, it was a relative that was married first. She was married about probably 14 years at the time. She had three children, okay, and her husband had a nervous breakdown, and she found herself pregnant. And all of a sudden, she said, I can't have this baby. I mean, there's too much pressure, you know, and she wanted to get an abortion. Well, she ended up going to, backstreet abortion. I mean, a woman came out, talked to her, took her in a room, did something. We don't know what she did, came out and told us to go home. She was going to go into labor and everything would be fine. We go home with her. She goes into labor, starts to miscarriage, and the blood, I'm telling you, ladies, you did not want to see what went on in that scene. We immediately called the emergency room, and the woman on the phone said, it sounds like an abortion. We want you to know if you come in, we're going to try to save the baby. Well, this baby was only like not even 2 months in the works there, you know. And here's this poor woman bleeding, and we don't know what to do. And suddenly, boom, it aborts, and we rush her to the emergency hospital. And I'll tell you, she was seconds from death. A woman who would leave three children behind. Well, let me tell you something. When the women start advertising and start trying to promote abortion and women's right and Roe versus Wade and all those things happen, I'll tell you, I was one of the first women to be out there marching and saying we must make it legal and we must make sure that women have education about reproductive rights, have access to birth control, and have access to a facility that they can talk honestly and openly. Excuse me. And that was Planned Parenthood. And I want to ask our leaders, particularly our new president, how can you justify $619 billion for defense, for killing people, and yet you're going to close down a clinic and you're talking about, you know, saving lives. You know, all of a sudden this fetus becomes more important than a soldier on the ground, more important than a child that's going to school that needs maybe a breakfast or maybe a lunch, a food program, all these different things that we could spend our money on. And here we are blowing it all up. I mean, it does not make any sense. So I really encourage my listeners, call your congressman. Let them know that this is something that you are not for. After all, you do pay taxes. You should have some say into how your money is spent. And let them know this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. And also, I have said this over and over on my show. I invite anybody from the pro-life group to come onto the show and answer one question. Why do they want the government regulating our bodies? I think education is so much more important than saying, you know, because people always find a way to do something. Well, anyway, we're going to take a little musical break. And, you know, last week I played this because I talked to Connie Cotting, and we also talked about Planned Parenthood. But, oh, boy, I was so incensed when I saw this vote. I couldn't believe it. But I thought I would play this song again, Hey, Mr. Politician, and it's by Ellen Booksdale. And the reason it's important, listen to the words. I'm going to play the whole song here. She says here, Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my body. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind self-righteousness. It's my right not to give birth if I choose. It is not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. I don't know why that's so complicated, to have freedom of choice. So now we're going to listen to Ellen Booksdale singing, Hey, Mr. Politician. And when I come back, I have another interesting commentary that I'd like to share with you. And then at the last half hour of the show, we're going to be talking to Geraldine Stapleton, who's the president of California's National Organization for Women. And I believe there's almost over 30 chapters here in the state of California, and she oversees all of them. And I'm just really excited about our interview. So let's go ahead and listen to Hey, Mr. Politician by Ellen Booksdale.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. To call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible to make laws that discriminate. If I choose, it's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Just like my Politician, don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see? Dawn's early light. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church.
Freedom to choose. That's what a free country is all about. Freedom to choose. I want to read the last line of that, the last paragraph of that song. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. That's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade that teaches our children to fight. Oh, say, can you see the price we've paid in death by the dawn's early light? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I'm doing something a little bit different. Usually I have two guests. Today I'm going to have one guest, which is Geralyn Stapleton, who is the coordinator and president of California Now. And she's going to be on the phone all the way from Hollywood, California. I'm really excited about it. But before we get into that, I have a few things I want to talk about and a few announcements. You know, everybody is, as many of my listeners know, I was involved with the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez. If you remember, Andy Lopez was a 13-year-old boy that was shot in 2013. And I participated. I went to a lot of the local law enforcement task force meetings. And out of that, the public demand that we had some sort of oversight, and they started, the Board of Supervisors developed an independent office of law enforcement review and outreach, which they call ILARO, and it was formed, and it also included in that organization a community advisory council called CAC, C-A-C, and there was an 11-member team. And the purpose of the CAC is to serve as a bridge between law enforcement, ILARO, and various communities of the county. It also recommends possible changes to policies of the sheriff's office in order to better reflect. Now listen to this. In order to better reflect the considered desires of the community. What the community wants. And what the community wanted was some sort of relationship with the sheriff's office, some sort of policy changing, and some sort of oversight. Well, everything formed. They got 11 people on the board and on this CAC committee. And one of the people that was on there was a local activist, lawyer, and woman who's very involved in the Latino community, Alicia Ramon. All right, here's the body of 11 people. They're going to be to do this oversight. They're called the CAC. They're going to be an advisory council for this ILARO, for the law enforcement here in Sonoma County. And there's an election among the board. And Alicia Ramon was voted as chair. And served as chair for about 2 months, and suddenly the community hears that the director, Mr. Jerry Treat, fired Alicia Ramon because of an assumed attitude, something about rolling eyes, something about speaking out at wrong. You know, I'm not really clear, but I'm a little bit upset about that. You know, here we have a body that elected a chairperson, but they have no say and no input into whether that person should be asked to leave the board, to step down as chair. There's no discussion. I read the bylaws. There's no protocol. You know, I did read that everything was at the discretion of the director. Does that mean if it's at the discretion of the director, it's his committee, his office, and that the community has no input? I mean, it's very confusing to me. And I don't want to take a side on this. But, you know, it's interesting when you look at who Alicia Ramon is. First of all, she's very outspoken. You know, she's very outspoken in her own community. She has actually brought law enforcement to the task by different lawsuits. So she's a very, very active person. I mean, actually, I think she's perfect to be on this committee. She's also a woman. She's not only also a woman, she's a Latina woman. So there's some questions that need to be answered here, particularly around protocol. And that I believe the committee should have input. The committee should vote whether she should step down or not. I mean, yes, it could be at the discretion of the director to maybe put people on the committee. But once a vote is taken, once a body takes a vote, I believe they should have some input. Well, tonight at 5:30, they're going to be having a meeting. It's their monthly meeting of ILARO, and that stands for the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, I-O-L-E-R-O. There's going to be a meeting tonight. It's going to be at 5:30. It starts, and it's going to be at 2550 Ventura Avenue in the hearing room in Santa Rosa. And I read the director's statement about this issue. Lots of words, but still it's not clearing. And in reading it, I actually felt very disheartened, because after 3 years of going to going to Board of Supervisors, of giving them input, of meeting after meeting, healing committee, all kinds of things, and then all of a sudden we get this oversight committee, and then all of a sudden this happens, it's kind of disheartening. So I really encourage people to come down to the meeting. That's 5:30 today at 2550 Ventura Avenue in the hearing room. There will be plenty of time for public comment, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle when the public shows up, because there's a lot of people out there that are very upset about this. Well, another thing that's going on here in our community, today is the beginning of Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University, and it started at 10 o'clock this morning. It's sponsored by SSU Sociology Department, Social Justice Activism Club, Associated Students, Sociology Department, School of Social Science, Media Freedom Foundation, and, of course, Project Censored. And it's happening at Sonoma State. It's going to be all over the campus. They have some marvelous, marvelous speakers, and it's going to be lasting all week, I believe. It's April 3rd to April 7th. So that's a pretty long day, let me tell you, a pretty long event. And Project Censored, what's really exciting is that on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, Project Censored's director, Mickey Huff, is scheduled to give a keynote speech about, listen to this, fake news. That's something I don't want to miss. Anyway, it's like I said, it's Social Justice Week. It's going to be in the Student Center ballrooms as part of the third annual Social Justice Week. I guess they've had two before this. And that's happening today from April 3rd to April 7th. And I really encourage you to go down there. And then another thing that's happening, and I just thought I would do this a little, put this on your calendar, because it's happening next Monday at the Rialto Theater. And they're doing a screening brought to you by the Veterans of Peace in Sonoma County, number 71, and the Peace and Justice Center, and it's going to be a film. Let's see, what is that film about? It's the, it's talking about whistleblowers and some of the different things, and it's made by a filmmaker, Sonia Kennenbach. So she'll lead a discussion after the screening. And that's going to be, it's a free, but they're asking for donations. That's going to be at the Rialto Cinemas at 6868 McKinley in Sebastopol, California. And then a reminder that this month on April 22nd to watch your newspapers and everything, because we are going to be having Earth Day on April 22nd in Sonoma County. Well, a lot to think about in when I was talking about Alicia Ramone, and I'm going to take a musical break right now, and we're going to play a very, very interesting song, and it's called "Everybody Knows." But wait, let me, you know, Ken, I'm going to make a change here. I'm sorry. We're going to take a musical break, and the song I'll be playing is "Rise Up." Are we queued up for "Rise Up"? And it's by Andrea Day, because when I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like when we return, we're going to be talking with Geraldine Stapleton. So what do you got queued up? You got, can you do either one of them? I think we're going to play a little bit of it. Let's play a little bit of "Everybody Knows." This is a Leonard Cohen song, because everybody knows what's going on. Come on, we know what's happening. So go ahead, let's go listen to a little bit of "Everybody Knows." And when I come back, I will be talking with Geraldine Stapleton, president of the California National Organization for Women, NOW.
Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows that's how it goes. Everybody knows. Clothes.
the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Everybody knows.
I truly want to encourage my listeners to show up tonight when they have the IOLERA meeting, which is the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. It's happening at 5:30 at 2550 Ventura Avenue Hearing Room in Santa Rosa, California. And I really encourage people to show up. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, the Board of Directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Geralyn Staplin. Geralyn, welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Well, I am really excited to have you on. You know, this was kind of a last-minute thing, and I really appreciate it. So I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you, Geralyn. Is that okay?
Of course.
Anyway, Geralyn Stapleton has been a feminist. This is so interesting. Since the age of five. You know, when I read that line, Geralyn, in your bio, I said to myself, yes, I think I've been a feminist since the age of five. Prior to joining NOW, she was already a union activist working on wages, working conditions, and the image of women and minorities in film and TV as co-chair of the AFTRA Women's Committee when she joined NOW. She founded the Hollywood chapter of NOW and served as acting president, former executive vice president, and Hollywood's NOW vice president. And now she is the president of the California NOW of the National Organizations for Women. And also she is part of the California NOW Media Reform Committee. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Geralyn? Because I know that, you know, there's one thing that I found in your bio that I want you to kind of explain a bit. You were chair of the Media Committee, lead national letter writing campaign to keep Cagney and Lacey on TV.
Yeah.
And it's also written in a book, Defining Women, Television, and the Case of Cagney and Lacey. Talk a little bit about that before we go into NOW. How did you get involved in that?
Well, when I joined NOW,
Can you come closer to the telephone and talk a little louder?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I'm not quite used to this phone yet. Anyway, when I first joined NOW, of course, I joined the Los Angeles chapter because I lived in Hollywood. And actually, the Los Angeles chapter at that time, I think, was probably the most active in the nation. It was in the 80s, we were on doing the Equal Rights Amendment. So I got involved with the chapter, and I saw the need, you know, being that the industry, of course, is in Hollywood. And I was already active with my unions, which is now merged at SAG-AFTRA. So I had become, you know, involved with the Women's Committee of AFTRA and, of course, was extremely interested in, of course, at that point, women were mainly window dressing on the set and, you know, trying to, you know, advance, you know, the roles for women, being said, of course. Now we have a saying, if you can see it, you can believe it, you can be it, and how important it was for women to be seen, you know, in roles of a doctor, an attorney, or whatever, more than the mother housewife of the 1950s type series that we had with Father Knows Best and what have you, that weren't really quite realistic of what was going on at that time. So we formed this committee. And so that was the time when Cagney and Lacey, the network had canceled it.
They were two policemen, right? They were two policewomen, right?
Yes, they were. They were in non-traditional roles, you know, at that time. I mean, we're still working on more progress with having more women, into the police department. That's a little bit easier. The fire department is right currently probably our biggest challenge, but we are making progress in terms of that, and we have made a lot of progress, but we need more women to balance out, you know, like the police departments. But So, and then they were, their roles were as detectives. I mean, they weren't just on the beat cops, but they were playing extremely positive roles for women. And so the network, in their infinite wisdom, decided to cancel the show. So we decided to do a campaign to keep them on the air, because the networks do pay attention, or and it may, really so at that point in time, in terms of the letters and the response, in terms of keeping a show on the air. So we did this big letter campaign. It was very, very successful, because we did get them back on the air.
Oh, well, congratulations. And I understand that, that you're in a book. It's by Julie Diaci. But it's very, very, very interesting. So I'm going to do a little bit more research, and we'll put that on the website. So thank you so much for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about now. You know, I recently became, I'm so proud to be part of the organization, and I recently became a president, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful event where we brought out the, you know, for the first time in Sonoma County history, 166 years of this county, we actually have a female majority on our board of supervisors, and they came out and they talked about women in politics, and it was, it, I was really proud of them just listening to their story. And I thought about now and its early days with Betty Friedan and all the different things, and it come to this place where now we have a female majority. I think there's only two counties in the United States. I think one is Los Angeles and the other is Sonoma County up here. So talk a little bit about now. Give us a little bit of history, a little bit of background, how it started, and how you got involved. What was the attraction for you?
Well, of course, NOW was formed in 1966 with Betty Friedan back in New York. The New York City chapter is the first, and it's still going very, very strong in New York. It formed because of the conditions that women were going through at that time. As I recall, one of the first things that was done was the newspapers used to have help wanted men and help wanted women. And of course, all the jobs for women were, of course, the low paying jobs and whatever. And they weren't really encouraged or, you know, to apply or even train or educate them in terms of the higher paying jobs. So one of the first things that was done was to stop the newspapers from advertising the employment opportunities that way, and to start listing them in terms of the categories, you know, in terms of an attorney or a CPA or whatever the case may be, whatever, but to just list them, period, not, and to take the male and the female out of the equation, just to simply list the jobs that were available so that people could start applying. And we started to encourage, of course, more women to be educated in the fields that they were kind of dissuaded from being involved in, like engineering, architecture, and so on and so forth. So that was the kind of the beginning of that. Also, one of the other things that was done, which is kind of, it's been so long ago that people have forgotten about, was domestic violence restraining orders. And here in California, that NOW was responsible for getting that legislation.
You mean to tell me that women could not get restraining orders at one time?
Right, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
There was a point where women could not tin bar. If you were the owner of a bar, then you could actually pour the drink. But women were relegated to being what they call bar backs. You weren't allowed to pour the shot of alcohol into the drink. You could clean the glasses. You could restock the ice. You could, you know, do all of those things of what they call a bar back job. But you weren't allowed to tend bar. So that was back in the 60s. That got changed. There was a point in time where, in terms of credit, you weren't allowed to get that in your own name, you know, so on and so forth. We've been involved in so many changes.
Women forget they really forget, you know, that's why, you know, I remember when Betty Friedan's book came out, The Feminine Mystique, and I remember reading it, and I remember talking about it to my mother, and my mother says, go for it. It's too late for me now. You know, I mean, it was very interesting. And I was already a parent. I was already a mother. And I actually decided that, you know, I changed my course of life because of that book. Go ahead, Geraldine, finish with the history. I'm sorry.
Well, I think a lot of, well, like I'm saying, you know, little by little, all of these things that were oppressive to women, just because we were a female. I mean, we talk about at age 5, I guess, or 6. I mean, that's kind of when I realized, probably. Well, of course, we didn't have the term feminist at that point in time, but I remember being told by my first stepfather I wasn't allowed to do something because I was a girl. And I kind of put my hands on my hips and I looked and I went, that didn't make any sense to me, that I was not allowed to participate in a certain activity simply because I was a girl. And so that's kind of how that got started. And, you know, I guess kind of grew up wanting to make changes.
Well, you know, it's real interesting. I remember when I was a young girl, I remember going to school and then coming home and I think it was Marlena Dietrich. I saw a magazine where she was wearing pants.
Yes.
And I'll never forget it. And I thought to myself, God, why can't I wear pants? I mean, skirts were so uncomfortable. I mean, I remember, and then later on down the line, I actually came to school in pedal pushers and got suspended. And that's when I realized, being a woman or being a young girl, how oppressive it was. Like, I couldn't even choose my own clothes. I had to be restricted to a certain code that told me how to dress, how to be, how to act. It was very interesting times, for sure. Well, how did you get involved with NOW? What was your first experience? How did you find them? And why did you think it was important to be part of the organization?
Well, I guess I came up. I experienced child sexual abuse and rape and domestic violence. I guess there's kind of a whole... trajectory, I guess you could call it, that you can go on, you know, like coming through that. And of course, I think, and then coming up, you know, like through the 60s, being involved with racial justice, because I thought that was a great, great injustice that was going on with that. So I was involved with that. But there was always a desire in me, going through the experiences that I did, to help other women not have to experience those negative things, full well knowing the aftermath that one goes through with that. So I guess from, you know, early on, that was a desire or an inspiration for me to want to be able to help make those changes to prevent violence, you know, happening, you know, to other women. And of course, that is one of our core issues, is ending violence against women. So, but it, you know, it goes, you know, that crosses over into quite a few of our areas of concern, that, like I'm saying, like the aftermath can be such a difficult thing to work through. I feel very fortunate that I am where I am today, realizing that there are other women out there that are not as fortunate as I am in terms of being able to educate themselves and, you know, move forward, you know, into having a productive life.
Well, you know, right now, we're looking at the political scene. I mean, when all of a sudden here's a man who's a president who's saying, I'm going to appoint another man on the on the Supreme Court to make sure that they do something with Roe versus Wade. So it feels like, and now what happened with this recent vote with Planned Parenthood, you know, that Mike Pence, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I did a little commentary before this that Mike Pence, our vice president, broke the tie. I mean, what does that say about his feeling towards women? I mean, it's just a phenomena to me that is unreal. So why do you believe in this time that it's happening, that it feels like they're trying to take some of the things that we've gained away from us? So what do you feel is going on right now, and why would it be important at this time in our culture that women become and support organizations like NOW?
You're kidding me? Take some of the things away? They're trying to take everything away. Everything that we have worked so hard over the past 50, 60 years, or longer. Well, actually, I mean, going back to getting the right to vote. I mean, that's over 100 years old. They're really trying to push everything back into like 1940, 1950, where women had no rights whatsoever, you know, in terms of, and so what's going on now in terms of reproductive rights or justice is an extremely important issue with the what they're trying to do with Planned Parenthood and with Roe v. Wade. Bottom line is that if a woman does not have control over her reproductive life, she does not have control over her life. I mean, so, and that's the underlying thing to all of that in terms of, you know, restrict. Well, now they put so many restrictions on access, you know, to abortion. It's making it more difficult and more difficult, and especially for, you know, our low income and women of color community, in terms of women that have had the means, have always been able to do what they felt was necessary, you know, for their particular life. But for the majority of women, that has not been the case. And even if they were to repeal Roe v. Wade, or to put so many restrictions. I mean, some states are now trying to implement, you know, like 6 weeks. There are some women that don't even realize that they are pregnant until 2 months or 3 months, what have you. So.
I know it's a very, you know, I was.
To maintain what we've worked so hard for. So in terms of what's going on, like right now on the federal level, I mean, those phone calls, those letters and everything, you know, like to your representatives are really important because they do count the numbers on that. So we need to have a very, very, make a very large voice in terms of doing those phone calls, you know, in opposing, you know, Gorsuch being confirmed. We've got a good chance of stopping that if we can stop them from eliminating the fact that they need 60 votes in terms of, and making it 51, which is now what they're trying to do because they know that they don't have the 60 votes to confirm him. He would be a total disaster, and of course, as we know, I mean, this is a stolen seat on the Supreme Court. We all know what happened last year. So that's why today it's extremely important to be making those calls, because today they're going to try to change that rule from 60 votes to 51. It's important that they keep it at 60 votes because they won't have it, and hopefully he won't be able. He, being the 45th, will not be able to find somebody worse to nominate, you know, for that position. That's why it's going to be important for us to be involved right now in terms of getting women and qualified feminist men to be running for office for 2018. We need to change the landscape back there in the Congress.
Well, you know, I want to inject something here for my women listeners, just in case you'd like to find out what it's like not to have the freedom of choice. You should read a book called Angela's Ashes.
Ah, yes.
Because it really describes what a woman went through when she was totally dominated by her husband and her husband's will, and she had to give into that, no birth control, none of that available to her, and what she went through. It's really amazing. Well, you know, Geraldine, we're coming to the end of our segment. I mean, time goes by really fast when you're having a good time. So what I'd like you to do is give us your website and also let us know what NOW is working on and why do you think it's important that women need to join today, if you could give us a quick answer on that.
Well, we kind of discussed that. We got stuck on the federal level. Of course, I'm excited that we've got, you know, like 11 new chapters forming in the state of California, that we've had an uptick in terms of after the what happened in December 8th of last year, an uptick of people wanting to get involved. So, you know, getting involved, you know, like with your local chapter or especially in your local community, we need women to be at the local government committee hearings in terms of sitting in these committees and saying, well, wait a minute, what about us? You know, where are we when you're making these decisions in terms of local policy and especially appropriations when it comes to supporting domestic violence and what have you? Our website is www.canow.org. And my email is president@canow.org. And we will be working on, of course, all of our core issues. Reproductive rights, of course, is at the forefront with what is going on with our health care. And the threat to that, we postponed the national dismantling of the ACA, but don't kid yourself, they're still at work trying to undermine everything that goes into that. So right now we do have a piece of state legislation, SB 562, by Senator Laura and Hot Atkins, and it's called the Healthy California Act, and it's we're bringing back whatever was known as single-payer Medicare for all. This would be health care for all, everybody in, nobody out. I would suggest that you can Google this, SB 562, and bring up the text and look for yourself to see what it's all about. We are involved. We are co-sponsoring SB 225, Senator Stern's human trafficking bill on the notifications. This is to add the text number to a piece of legislation.
Geraldine, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're running out of time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a call, and I'll get a list of all those things, and we will definitely put it on the Women's Spaces website so people can see that. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a guest, and I can't tell you how proud I am to be part of NOW, to be its president here for the chapter, and to have this conversation with you today.
And we're proud to have you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Just stay on the line for just a few moments. Well, folks, that's our show. A special thank you to Geraldine Stapleton, president of California National Organization for Women NOW. A reminder, we do have a chapter in Sonoma County, and we meet the third Wednesday of the month at the Roundtable Pizza from 1 to 3 on Guerneville Road. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on tonight. I'm so excited I get to listen to myself. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements like birthdays, etc., do not hesitate to email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life.